Good evening again and welcome. So glad to be in your presence this evening and want to extend a warm welcome to those of you who have traveled to be with us here in this assembly this evening. I have the unenviable task of standing before you tonight with the aromas of all of that wonderful food that is just waiting for you all in the fellowship hall just on the other side of that wall over there. And so I know most of you all are probably looking at me saying, how long is it going to be before we can get to the food? I promise you, I won't be long at all. I do want to say how encouraged I was to be sitting on the front row as we started the service this evening, to just look out and not only see all of the young people out in the crowd tonight, but just to hear all of the fellowship and the encouragement that was going on with all of you here in the room. In fact, I didn't envy Matt at all to have the tough job to try to corral all of you all and get you calmed down so we could get the services started this evening. When he first came up, I said, he's going to need a bullhorn to get them to calm down so we can actually get going. But it was just encouraging to see all of the conversation and the fellowship that was happening in your midst. And that ties into what our topic is this evening, which is drawing closer together with one another. In my coat pocket, I have a device that has changed our civilization from the very start of its existence. And men, if you're thinking I'm talking about the television remote, you're close. It's not the TV remote. Although it has changed most of our lives, particularly on Saturday afternoon and Sunday afternoons. But I'm talking about a smartphone. Smartphones have allowed us to have access to just about any and everything at the palm of our hands. I can do all of my banking from my phone. I can connect to any piece of information that I want to just by doing a Google search. I can order food from the parking lot and have it delivered and be at my house by the time that I get home. Smartphones have changed our lives tremendously and have made things so much more efficient and expedient. But there are some that are concerned that with this technology, it has negatively impacted the way that we connect on a personal level with one another. Now, I know all the teenagers are thinking, here comes another adult talking about how bad technology is. That's not my point. I love my smartphone. It has made my life so much easier. Just the other day, I needed to make a change to my auto insurance policy. I had to drop one vehicle and add another one. It took me all of 2 minutes to make that change on the app. Where in times past, that's at least a 20-minute phone call, because for 15 minutes, you're going to be sitting on hold, just waiting on someone to talk to you. And within 2 minutes, I had the change made. And it probably would have been done even faster if I knew how to navigate the app better. Had I given it to one of my daughters, they probably could have done it in 30 seconds. That's how expedient the technology has made our lives. But what I want to communicate to you all tonight is, in light of the society that we live in today with all of the advances in technology, to stress the importance of making sure we continue to build connections with one another. Being a child of God means that we are part of a unique family, the family of God. And just like with any family, God has rules and expectations for how he wants his family to function. Many of you all in here, you probably live in homes where your parents have sat down with you and told you the rules and the guidelines for what they expect in their household. And if you grew up in my house, those rules were plastered all over the walls on pieces of paper just to remind you of what's expected of you in this house. God is no different. God has expectations for how he wants his family to function. In addition to that, there are tremendous benefits for not only being a child of God, but for being a part of God's family. So what I would like to do briefly this evening is to talk about the expectations that God has for how his family is supposed to function, the benefits of being in God's family, and then at the end, to give you some application on ways that we can grow closer together as God's family. As I mentioned before, we're part of a unique family. And in the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter number 12, there is the framework and the structure for exactly how God wants his family to operate and function. In 1 Corinthians, chapter number 12, and verse number 12, it says, "For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ." The one thing that I want to point out to you is that it talks about how we're individual members, but we're all members of one body. The point that I want to emphasize is that we have membership. Membership means that there is a place for every single one of us. It doesn't matter how young you are or how mature you may be. Older folks, y'all see what I just did with that? I didn't call you old. But each and every one of us, we have a place in God's family. Membership not only means that each of us has a place, but it means that all of us hold high value in God's eyes. As a younger Christian, sometimes you may feel like you may not be as important as the adults in the congregations that you worship in. In fact, I commend Matt because he constantly says that our youth are not the church of the future. Our youth are the church of right now. Our youth are the church of today. They are members of the body of Christ today, and they hold an important place in the family of God. And so you need to know that as a member of the body of Christ, every single one of us has membership. That means we all hold value, we all hold importance. But not only do we all have membership, we all serve important functions. Look at verse number 14 of chapter 12. It says, "For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. If the body should say, 'Because I am not a hand, I am not of the body,' it is therefore not of the body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I am not an eye, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased." What this verse is saying is that there is no function within the body of Christ that overrides anything else in terms of function within the body. Just as we all have membership, we all have important roles that we serve. I remember when I was younger growing up in the church, I was probably about 12 or 13 years old. And I remember the first time that I was asked to participate in the worship services. They asked me to read scripture. In my 12-year-old mind, that was one of the most important responsibilities I had ever been given. The fact that I was entrusted with reading the Word of God in a public worship assembly, in my mind at that time, was one of the most important things that I could have been asked to do. At no point in time did I ever think, well, reading scripture is a building block to now lead in prayer, and then that's a building block to one day I can get to teach Bible class, and that's a building block to one day then I get to lead sermons. No, it was that one task that in that given time I saw as being a huge responsibility. So what is the point that I'm making? My point is, whatever the task that you're asked to do, do it with your all, realizing you are being entrusted with an extremely important responsibility for the functioning of the body of Christ. Every task that we have is equally important. Not only does every person have a place, not only does every person have a function, but each of us relies on the strength of one another. Look at verse number 24 of chapter 12. It says, But God composed the body, having given greater honor to the part which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. When I played sports, we had this idea that there was no individualism in the team construct, that it served our team no good if I went out there and I played for myself and I scored a bunch of points and I sacrificed the good of my team and my team lost. Because even though I might have had a good game, I hurt my team because my team was not able to achieve its goal. But guess what? It's the same way in the body of Christ. We all strive to reach the same goal together. And it does me no good for me to attain my goals and leave my brothers and sisters in Christ around me behind. We strive together, which means when one of us is suffering, the other members rally around that member that's suffering. When one of our members is going through a triumph and experiencing joy in their life, the other members rally around and celebrate with that particular member. And that brings me to the benefits of being members of God's family. Being members means that you have a collective around you to help you in all of your circumstances in life, both good and bad. For example of what I mean, turn to Acts chapter number 2. Acts chapter number 2 and verse number 44. It says, "Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all to anyone who had need." This is a description of the early church when those first converts obeyed the gospel, and it talked about how they all would be together and they had this common bond where they shared all things. And that is one of the benefits of being a member of God's family, is that through good times and bad times, you have someone that is there to share in those things with you. How many of you ever been in a situation where you got some really good news, like maybe this test that you were stressing over that you really didn't think you were going to do well on? For me, it was chemistry. But you did better on that test than you thought you did. Maybe you were hoping that best to get a D and you got an A on that test. And you were exhilarated about getting that high grade and nobody cared. Nobody celebrated you. Nobody said, "Hey, that was awesome. Hey, that was a great job." If you've ever been in that situation, that's probably pretty deflating. Here you had this momentous accomplishment and no one lifted you up. No one shared in your joy. That is one of the things that we bring for one another within the body of Christ, is that we share in all things. In fact, in Romans chapter 12, verse 15, it says, "Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep." And the point being is that you should never feel like you have to walk alone in anything that you do in this life. I talked about some of the issues with technology in the beginning. One of the things that people have been studying about technology is that we spend so much time online using social media that many people, particularly those in the age group of 25 and under, can tend to be isolated. And the point that I want to make to you as members of the body of Christ is you should never, ever feel isolated and feel like you have no one to walk with you, because you have a collective to share in everything that you do. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Some of the members here, they actually had an opportunity to practice this principle this afternoon, because a lot of the Alabama fans came and walked up to me as a Florida State fan and said, "I offer you my condolences that we stole your number one spot in the playoff rankings." So I appreciate your well wishes and your sympathies this afternoon. Now, I say that in jest, but at the same time, there's a little bit of seriousness to it, because we kid each other sometimes, but at the end of the day, there's a bond of love and kindred spirit that we have with one another that nothing else should supersede. Another benefit that goes along with that is having someone to help you in difficult situations. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 2, it says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. As I mentioned before, because you are members of God's family, you should not feel that there is anything that you will ever experience in your life where you don't have the support of someone that could come and walk along with you, someone to encourage you, someone to say, hey, let me pray for you, someone to say, hey, you know what, it's going to be okay. Those are the benefits of being part of God's family. And so the final point that I want to leave with you here is the application. What are some things that we can do so that we can grow closer together, so that we can fully experience all of those benefits that I just listed for you? The first thing that I want to point out in terms of ways to draw closer to one another is to be genuine and authentic. What do I mean by that? I mean having a legitimate care and concern for other people. Have you ever been walking somewhere, maybe in school or maybe at work, and you come across someone and they say, hey, how's everything going? But as they ask you how things are going, they're still walking. You haven't even got your answer out and they're already behind you. Does that really convey the sense that they care about how you're doing? Does that really demonstrate that they're concerned about how your day is going? And so we need to take the time to actually be interested in the welfare of others. For example, I don't think there is a single congregation represented here tonight that doesn't announce members who may be in need of prayer or members who may be in need of encouragement. Every congregation does it in a different fashion. But one of the things I would encourage you to do is, if there is a prayer list or something of that nature, take the time to be invested in the needs of those people that are on the prayer list. It may be that you're like, I don't feel comfortable maybe having those direct face-to-face conversations with someone, and that's okay. But that doesn't stop you from finding out what's going on with someone and then in your private space to offer up a prayer for that person, to ask God to intervene on that person's behalf, to give them whatever it is that they're seeking for. Those are some of the things that we can do to have a genuine interest and concern for someone. Another thing that we can do is to move our conversations beyond the surface level. You all may see it from time to time. Hey, good morning. How's it going? Nice weather we're having here. How about them Seminoles? And then you keep on going. Do you stop and actually take the time to have conversations beyond the surface level, beyond the superficial level? I fear that sometimes in the hustle and bustle of life, we get so busy and we're so intent on moving on to the next place or the next task, we have lost the art of stopping and actually being present in the moment in conversation. I want you to do something. In your daily interactions with your peers, with your associates, stop and take the time and ask them some open-ended questions to really get to know kind of where they are as a person. Move beyond, hey, so how things are going, to, so what are some of the things that you're happy about in your life? What are some of the things that you're joyous about right now? What are some things that you think you're challenged with right now? And how can I be praying for you in those things? And how can I encourage you in those things? Those are ways that not only we show an interest in one another, but those are the way that we form connections and draw closer to one another. That moves to the next point, which is to have that genuine interest in others. Take the time to get to know the things that are important to the people that are around you. That goes back to that open-ended questioning. Asking questions to find out what's significant in their life. What are the things that they truly value? And then take it a step further as you get to know and understand those things. Use them as conversation points the next time you see that person. So you may find that someone may have a particular field that they're interested in studying, and so they're trying to get their classes together to get ready to position themselves to maybe pursue this field of study or whatever. Maybe every time you see them, hey, so how are those classes going? How's your study going? Is there something that I could be doing to pray for you? Maybe, do you need some help studying? What are the things that you're working on in terms of your spiritual growth? What are some of your goals that you've identified for how you want to grow closer to Christ or closer to your brothers and sisters? And how can I help you with those things? See, those are the types of conversations that we need to have with one another. And for the youth here tonight, I don't want you to feel like I'm talking down to you like these are things you don't know how to do, because adults are no better at doing these things than you are. I'm only telling you the things that I know I'm not good at doing. It's why I highlight these things to you. So hopefully you may be a little bit better at these things than maybe some of your older brother and sisters in Christ may struggle in. So have a genuine interest in others. Another thing is find the common ground. Some of the things that I hear often within the body of Christ when I try to encourage people to form bonds and connection with one another, they'll say, well, I just don't know what we have in common. Well, that's a good point. You probably don't know what you have in common, but if you don't take the time to start a conversation, how will you know if you have anything in common? Not knowing most of the people here in this room, I'm pretty confident that I have at least one thing in common with every last one of you. In fact, I know it. I know I'm right. I know I got at least one thing in common with every single person in this room. I'm going to let you all ponder that in your head on what you think that one thing is that I know I have in common with you. But the point that I want to make is all of us have at least one thing in common. So maybe we start with that and then find out what other things we have in common that we share together. Along that line of finding common ground, my next point is ask open-ended questions to learn about others. Let me give you a quick example of how that might work. So maybe you leave here this evening, and as you go into the fellowship room and you sit down to eat, and maybe there's someone at your table that maybe you don't know, maybe you've never had an interaction with before, and you introduce yourself as you normally do. Hey, my name is Mike Wester. Nice to meet you. I worship right here at Redland Road. What about yourself? Where do you worship? Oh, really? That's interesting. I don't think I've ever been to that congregation. How long have you been a member there? Oh, you've been there your entire life. That is fascinating. Tell me about your family. Do you have any brothers and sisters? Oh, you have three brothers and two sisters. What are their ages? What do they do? What are some of the things that you like to do? Here's some things that I like to do. You can have a very in-depth conversation in a matter of 10 minutes and it be completely natural and stress-free. I have seen my wife do this on a regular basis. In fact, this is one of the things I admire about her. The fact that she can go up to a complete stranger without any preparation and just start a conversation. And usually I got to drag away like, lady, I'm hungry. It's lunchtime. Because she'll go for a good 30 minutes with someone that she's never met before. It's a trait that I admire that I know I don't do very well, but I'm working to get better at doing. And I want to encourage you to do that as well. And then the final point, in terms of how do we draw closer together, is to listen attentively. When I say that, what I mean is to seek to understand rather than just to reply. I was at work last week and I was watching two individuals engaged in a debate about this important thing that we were supposed to be doing. And I'm watching their body language. And as one gentleman is talking, the other gentleman is leaning forward in his seat, and I can tell all he's doing is just waiting for the other person to stop talking so he can jump in and get his point across. He's not listening to what the other person is saying to try to figure out what his point of view is and where he's coming from. He's listening long enough for a point that he can grab onto and for that gentleman to stop talking so he can say, let me tell you everything you said that was wrong. If we truly want to draw closer together, we need to listen actively. We need to try to understand where people are coming from, what their perspective is, and how they actually view things. I want to leave you with one biblical point or example as we close here tonight. In the book of Ezekiel, chapter number 3, the prophet Ezekiel, he was commissioned by God to go and speak to his people that were being held captive in Babylonian exile. God told him, I want you to go and I want you to speak to these people. And God gave him the message to deliver. But I want you to watch the example of how he approached it. In Ezekiel chapter number 3, in verse number 15, he says, then I came to the captives at Tel Abib, who dwelt by the river Chebar, and I sat where they sat and remained there astonished among them 7 days. This man had this urgent message that he was commissioned by the Lord God to go deliver to his people. But before he uttered a single word, he said, I sat there where they sat for 7 days without uttering a word to them. If we really want to connect to people, one of the most important things we can do is listen. I hear it say all the time, God gave us 2 ears and 1 mouth for a reason. One of the best things you could do is just listen to people to get to know where they're coming from and find out how you can relate to them so that we can draw closer together with one another. I appreciate your time here this evening. As I mentioned before, if you are a child of God, you are a part of a very unique and special family. But if you have not yet obeyed the gospel and become a child of God, you have that very opportunity to do that here tonight. If you are willing to confess your faith in Christ, repent from your sins, turn from your past ways, you can be baptized for the remission of your sins here tonight. And if you have already at some point obeyed the gospel and maybe you have fallen short of your responsibilities and you have faltered and fell by the wayside, you have the opportunity to be encouraged by your brothers and sisters here in Christ and be restored here tonight. Whatever your needs are, we bid you to come while we together stand and sing.